Hey, all you holistic hipsters out there, it's that time. So grab your chalice of choice and sit back and sip along with us. We would love to welcome you to the Tea Podcast, where we spill the tea on all things holistic in the pet grooming industry. Let me introduce you to our hostesses with the mostesses.
She is a socialite of skin and coat care, Ms. Michelle Knowles.
And the queen bee of all things oily, Ms. Melissa Conti-Diener. Brought to you by TheOilyGroomer.com. Are you searching for a new and more mindful way of grooming? Interested in understanding how to grow your grooming business with a more holistic and organic approach? Please contact Melissa Conti-Diener at TheOilyGroomer.com so that you can set up a meeting and bring balance and prosperity to your life. And AllThingsPaw.com. Intermediate and advanced courses in pet esthetician work, fear recovery, animal handling, and more. Get your learn on with All Things Paw. Also, classes with Melissa, online and self-guided, intuitive energy work, transitional therapy, and compassionate touchpoint therapy, and more. And the Herbal Paw Pet Apothecary. Tailored for the individual pet, phone consultations, history gathering, and the home of the Herbal First Aid Kit.
Now, let's get the tea party started.
Alrighty then. Okay. We're back. Yay. We're back again. We're doing it again.
Somebody let us out of our cages. So
I guess. What's going on? How are you doing, Miss Melissa?
I'm well. I'm just trying to recover from a very long week. So
fair.
My students are in the last 2 weeks of their 18-week program. So we are in the throes of it.
Oh my goodness.
Yep. Getting ready for their final exams. And so the pressure is on now. I'm excited for them to be able to step out of that and actually be groomers.
Mm-hmm. That's exciting.
It is. It's exciting and humbling to be a part of their journey.
Mm-hmm.
So I love to see them, you know, after a year. Mm-hmm. And some of them that have graduated actually work where I teach. So I get to see that progression and it's amazing.
That is amazing. I love seeing fresh new groomers all happy.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I'm just trying to get through tax season and get revved up for the next quarter. And so many things are happening. And I started quilting. I think we discussed that last time.
Yes. And I've
Holy
seen
cow. ADD. Yeah. All that with a little spicy of autism.
I'm not worthy.
Holy cow.
I'm not afraid of much. I can jump out of airplanes and stuff, but I do not know my way around a sewing machine. That's for sure. So
well, if you can zen out, because quilting, it can be just straight lines that you sew together. Like it's no big deal, but I'm fascinated with the geometry of it. And the one thing I don't want to do is make any kind of star quilt.
Right.
I want to do modern quilts that have a modern flair. I don't want to do granny squares. I don't want to do all that. Not that that's not pretty, but it's just not my style. And right. I'm interested in you can make a block of one pattern, the same block over and over again. And then there's 15 different patterns you can make over the whole quilt with just like one or two blocks. It's intense. So I got a couple of charm packs and I'm making something called a petal quilt.
Ooh.
And it's fairly easy, but the pattern that you put in it just makes it petals. And
okay.
Yeah, so it's really intricate. So I'm just doing it like a couple squares a day until I have to get them all done, and then we can put them together. It's fairly simple, but it looks more complex than it is, I guess.
Right. Well, Well, you said the word of the day too. You said pattern.
Right. What do you have in your cup today?
I have a new cup. I couldn't resist. I was having some retail therapy moments while my daughter was in town last week, and I saw this and I had to make the purchase. It's Marie.
Of course it is.
The Aristocat. So
of course it is.
Yeah. So my daughters lovingly, affectionately refer to me as Marie. Sometimes they'll say, "Mom, you're so Marie." Mm-hmm. So I have my little Marie mug, which is super cute with all the little faces.
I love how it's rounded and you can.
Yeah. And it actually goes in like your fingers can like fit. It's hard to see, but your fingers can actually fit. It's like.
Oh, there's little indentations.
Yeah. All around it. So think of like a golf ball, you know, like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a little like divots. And then inside is, oh my God, I bought this tea and it is, strawberry rose. Now I know you're not a fan of rose, but and I'm a huge fan of rose, but this is, and it's an organic tea and I can't remember the name of the company, but it is delicious. And it's just such a beautiful tea. It's light and it has, I put a little bit of Hawaiian honey in it this morning, but I've drank it without anything and you can have it hot or cold. Mm-hmm. It's just a beautiful, delicious, bright tea. So,
nice.
Yeah. So strawberry rose is in my pink Marie cup. What's in your cup?
My cup is the standard Walmart variety mug that you get at the restaurants.
Beautiful.
I have an iced version of my orange and cinnamon with liquid minerals. So I've been working in the garden since about 6 o'clock. So I figured I just had to replenish a little bit.
Speaking of replenishing, I've actually been working with the Celtic salt and been adding that. And I have not had, I should say, I have had minimal muscle cramping because I suffer from leg cramps and muscle cramps. Because we all know that I eat like a toddler. And so
I only want waffles.
Ritz crackers. Yeah. What did you eat today? Two Ritz crackers and a piece of cheese. So, so but the salt, that was your suggestion. So, and that has been helping me greatly, as well as getting in like these beautiful herbal blends of teas that are also helping. So for those of you out there that also eat and drink like a toddler, there are better alternatives than just, you know, straight up junk. And Celtic salt has the minerals and stuff in it. I even boiled my pasta in it last night.
So it just has three different kinds of magnesium, and magnesium is has to do with over like 600 processes in the body.
Yeah.
And all of us are continually depleting our magnesium stores. So it's always good to replenish. So if you like salt, just change to Celtic salt and you'll get those three magnesiums. Table salt has nothing in it. Only sodium. Like it's just the worst kind of salt. Even kosher salt doesn't have a lot of minerals in it that you should be eating.
Yeah,
so just switch up your salt a little bit. So it's a whole salt and you're going to get a lot more minerals than you had previously been getting just in your food and in your water or whatever.
Well, you know, you get into, again, I'm going to be like, we'll have to be like Sesame Street. Like every time we say the word and every time the word comes out, we go, yay! But you get into a pattern of using what you like and what you're used to. And then we just don't ever deviate from that pattern. And it just becomes a standard of what, you know, how we function.
Yeah.
And so sometimes you have to step out of that box. And so I think that's, what's our topic today, Michelle? Show us your fancy computer skills that you set us up with here.
Okay. Now don't get all up in arms, you people out there. Because it's going to look weird, but we're going to explain it. Blurred lines lower your standards. Lower your standards, y'all.
Yes. I already have low standards. So
I got friends.
Exactly.
So we're talking today about the standards, breed standards that everybody tries to emulate. You know, everybody's worried about that angulation or the correct jacket length or, you know, doing things just so. The headpiece should be balanced in this particular way. And I'm a firm believer.
Symmetry.
Symmetry, yeah. I'm a firm believer that before you can be creative, you should know the foundational breed standards of the majority of breeds that you groom. It's better to do that, you know, because then you know how to correct legs and angles that aren't genetically correct. And you can make the dog look really good. You should learn proportion and all those things.
Right.
However, I was totally influenced by Nathan Austin's Instagram post a few ago, where it showed him studying the Scotty breed standard and studying and getting his, you know, certificate and getting his certification, this, that, and the other. And then he got nothing but doodles. And he could never do the breed standard on a Scotty because he didn't have any as clients, like I'm sure he does, but I'm just saying. But it struck a chord in me because,
well, now 90% of the as many Scotties as he wants, he has a litter of Scotty puppies right now.
Oh, fair. Yeah. Yeah. You got to breed him in order to do him, right? Yeah, but I thought that was just so funny because that's true of a lot of us, you know. We go and we learn the standards of a Cocker Spaniel or a Bichon or this, that, and the other. And then the ones we get aren't even that. Like, there's no possible way you can put a Bichon trim on them. However, I have found that I enjoy grooming more when I design an outfit, if you will, a trim, to bring out the cute in that individual dog. And it could have many elements from many different standards. And sometimes you just make it up. I had one doodle that is so leggy and had weird hair. I emphasized the legs. I didn't try to balance it out. I just made him what he is. And that was him. And the owners loved it because he was so funky. I mean, he just had a funky body. And I made a character out of it instead of trying to downplay it. I played it up and I'm like, yep, that's what he looks like. Let's make him look like that. Right. And a lot of our dogs that we do just in the regular everyday salon, you know, grooming, have a lot of dogs like that. That just you kind of develop over time their particular trim. And I know a lot of groomers, especially the ones coming up, just lament, oh, I can't make this Yorkie look like the picture. Or I can't make that Schnauzer look like the picture. I'm like, yeah, you never will. That body is too off. So you have to accommodate some of those flaws, quote unquote, that they're genetically born with and form a trim for them that brings out their personality and their cuteness. Like Michelle Evans, she grooms for style. Everybody gets a style. It may not be a breed standard style, but it's a style that brings out the character of that particular individual pet.
I think it's important to note that if you have a Schnauzer, but the owners don't want a traditional Schnauzer clip, you can still pull elements from that standard clip for that body type because that standard clip was created for that body type. Mm-hmm. So you can still do things that are Schnauzer-ish or esque, like shave the ears, you know, take the body, the actual jacket shorter than the leg, and leave the leg a little fuller. You know, you don't have to make it like a lamb clip, but you can put some angulation in there. So there's a lot of things that you can draw from a standard. I am a huge proponent of, if you don't know already, I have a wild pack of Shih Tzus that I live with. Most of them, I do not keep a skirt, but I will do a lamb style clip on them with a real tight body. I was grooming this all this weekend. And I decided it's going to be really warm here again. Now we're getting into our summers here in Arizona. So my guys are getting little short round heads, very Westy-ish, you know, like with that real round. And then they're getting bell bottom legs. more of a poodle style than a Shih Tzu. So when you understand the anatomy of that animal, the way that the bones are and the way that their hips sit or their shoulders or even their ear set, you can create something and pull little pieces from all those different standard clips to make a unique style for that individual pet. So it's important to, I tell my students, that's the scaffolding for my masterpiece, you know? For what I'm doing. So, you know, you have to set that scaffolding first. You have to look at if you have feet that are turned in, or your dog is low on the hock, or your dog is, you know, high on its, on the pasterns, and the, you know, the stopper pads way up higher than it should be. And there, we see so many dogs, especially mixed breeds, that carry those, what's the word I'm looking for? Characteristics of the, you know what I mean? Of the different breeds, or they look totally different than what the two breeds that they are.
Right. And they look like a totally different breed. Right.
Yeah. And they look like an actual totally different breed. You can go with that. If your owners are okay with that, and you can say, hey, you, I know your dog is this, but look at this and show them, this is actually what your dog looks like. And I can make it look like this if you're, you know, you're cool with that. So we're allowed to dictate style. I tell my students that all the time. We have to be the expert, because most of the time the owners really don't understand what we do or how we do what we do. So depending upon their lifestyle and what their grooming schedule is and all that, you can create something uniquely for them. Like you said, you had a doodle that was really leggy and you went with that and you created a unique style for them. Although
he looked like one of the Star Wars, those big mechanisms with the long legs. He looks like that. That's why he's built.
So go with it. Yeah. I mean, and that's right. But a lot of times people just are like, well, I just want them short, or I just want them this or that. You can still put that cute factor in there.
Yes,
you can still make it look good.
I've seen schnauzers in a Bedlington. I've seen schnauzers in all kinds of different poodle styles. I've seen poodles in terrier styles. Like, there's nothing wrong with experimenting around and making your dog a like a Miss Potato Head. You know, just change it around and find the cute for that particular dog.
The client allows. You know, the footstool in Beauty and the Beast, how it's a dog? That's what my mom has Shih Tzus as well. And she leaves a skirt. And I always say her dogs look like the footstool from Beauty and the Beast.
Little fringe.
Yeah, just that little fringe on the sides. But that's what she likes. So, so you can create something for someone, which basically, I joke around. I always tell her, you should have just had Westies, you know, because she likes a Westie cut. So, you know, if you start to educate your clients on different breed standard haircuts and say, look, we have this kind of coat and it has this kind of texture, and I think this will look really good, most of your customers are going to be grateful that you can create something unique and special for their pet.
Yeah. One client educational aid that I really do like is Sam Cole has just a really thin booklet, and it just has a picture of all the groups and all the dogs within those groups. And you can say, listen, your dog's body looks like this, but we could put this head on it and it will look absolutely adorable and it'll be unique. A lot of people enjoy unique. Their dog is unique and special to them. And then you have the ones that are sticklers, like, oh no, I want this, you know, cock-a-doodle-doo or whatever to look like the breed standard. You know, if they have hair to do that, sure, go ahead and do that. There's nothing wrong with that. I see a lot of groomers in the past get really upset, you know, in the boards. Oh my gosh, she's got this and she wants to put this haircut on it. And I don't understand it. Blah, blah. It's supposed to be like this. Technically, is it? Is it supposed to be like that? That dog's not going to a show. You're not going to exhibition. You're not doing competition with that dog. This dog goes home and gets loved up and gets cheese on a little blanket.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want. if the client is paying you and they're happy and the dog is right. whole and happy and healthy, that's the right haircut for that dog, as far as I'm concerned. Well, you know, you have to do
it's important to know those standard breed cuts,
yes,
so that you can create something from that, because
right.
not everybody wants that. And know the correct ones, because yeah. we've all seen those schnauzers with hula skirts, or cockers with hula skirts, you know, and it's mm-hmm. the most rotund of cocker spaniels with mm-hmm. this super high skirt and
shortest legs, and it just looks weird.
And you're like, you know, and that back is taken down with a reverse 7 or a reverse 10. And yes, and it's just, I mean, I just have to be like, Jesus help me when I see those, because to me, that is a groomer that's not well educated in what the breed standard is. Mm-hmm. And it's a client that is also not educated in
right.
what that breed standard is. Mm-hmm. So the both of them need to come together and to know that they can have a breed standard haircut, but it just because it's a pet, it doesn't have to look like that.
Right. Exactly. I think that is. And just like any artist, which you're an artist.
Yeah.
Just like any artist, you have to know your tools. You have to know proportion and the body lines and the body type of your subject. Even if you do still lives of fruit, you have to know what an orange looks like and how to execute that on a paper before you make it all weird looking, you know? I think that's really important. I do believe in learning the foundations of those breed standards. I think they're really important, because then that gives you tools to then mix and match types and parts and angulation and different proportions. I think proportions to me is the most important. If you have an eye for proportion, you can do a lot just with proportion.
Absolutely. And I think that if you want to up your game, every single AKC breed out there has a breed club, and every AKC breed club has a breed standard for the coat care, for if it gets a haircut, you know, all those things. And those things can be found on the national breed sites.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and usually if you have a club, you can contact them and they're always happy to go over their favorite breed standard. So if you want to know that from the horse's mouth, you know, and go to your local dog shows, talk with people as they're getting their dogs ready or whatever, and say, hey, I don't show. I'm not competition. I just want to learn how to groom your breed better.
Right.
And they'll be like, oh, yeah, look who lives is what we do. So,
but even things like terriers, the standard is for a hand strip. Mm-hmm. For most of the harsh coated terriers, obviously they don't hand strip Bedlingtons, you know, and they don't really hand strip Yorkshire Terriers, Yorkies, you know.
Oh, they could.
Exactly.
Some of them are very strippable, yeah.
Right. But that's what I mean, though. There are things that you may not want to do, like, oh, I'm not interested in hand stripping at all. But you can do things like, I teach my students to pet strip. By using the rakes and the different tools, we're not using a stripping knife, but we are using carding methods to achieve a more polished and finished look.
The texture.
Exactly.
I believe that anything that should be stripped in some form or another, lightly, if it's just a pet or whatever.
Right.
You're doing the skin itself a disservice.
Exactly. So
a lot of people, I saw this in the boards the other day too. Someone was a proponent for not shaving double coated dogs, which we all know that's just a huge thing in the industry. And I'm not going to get into that, but somebody else brought up, oh, well, do you also, educate on how to hand strip a hand stripping dog and do all that, blah, blah. And my answer to that is yes. Yes, I do. And I teach that way. And you should absolutely, pull that hair out a little bit if that's a type of dog that needs it, and not just go over it, because you literally are not doing the best for the health of that dog in the long run.
No,
so, yeah, every dog that requires a method, you should probably do that method.
But I'll play devil's advocate. Most of the time, we get those strippable dogs in that have been shaved their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So those guard hairs are no longer there. That texture has changed over, and it is cottony, soft. We all know those schnauzers, mm-hmm. you know, that we get primarily. And that's why I teach my students carding methods mm-hmm. to help restore that mm-hmm. follicle to be able to push out those harsher hairs.
Because sadly enough, even though it's turned cottony and it was wire, that cotton hair, the secondary hair, is right. what builds up in the follicle instead yes. of the primary hair as well.
Exactly.
That's why it gets so thick and cottony. A lot of goldens you'll see in their older yep. years have been shaved occasionally through their life, and they're just all cotton. And they're like, oh, yeah, it's just old. Well, no, it's been shaved, exactly. and it's not been properly. So you can actually pull that hair out a little bit. Yeah. Use a rake, card it out by hand, use a stone. Yep. A lot of that can be helped, and you can restore the coat to some degree without exactly. doing a bunch of work.
Right. Exactly. But you are doing them and I feel like we're there to perform a service, not only an aesthetically pleasing service, mm-hmm. but we're there to perform a service that is for the health and well-being of that animal.
Absolutely.
And I think that a lot of times people look at us like, oh, you're just beauticians on a dog. But a beautician is the same thing, is there to keep your health, your hair looking healthy and, you know, well coiffed. You know?
Yeah, absolutely. If you've got a really dry scalp, they're going to choose right. products for you that are for your scalp type and your hair type. It's the same thing. It's their job to do that. And to overlook that and say, oh, I don't care about the skin. I'm just a stylist.
Exactly. You
know, you're missing half of the picture. You know, if yep. you have a bunch of coats that are not well formed and you're like, oh, well, we just shaved down a bunch of dogs because their coat is very good. They just have a bad coat. Nobody has just a bad coat. You can improve every coat, you know, by yeah. just little tips and tricks here, a mask there, some minerals there, some oil. You can do really a lot to restore a coat to its health that it can be. You know, each dog has a health level that you can max out. You know, you can make them look really good for them, even if they're cottony, even if they're harsh coated.
I think that goes right into our title, Blurred Lines, Lower Your Standards, because what is the standard for you as a groomer? Like, how have you been taught? And if you've been taught, like I was taught a million years ago, that we just shave, you know, you just mm-hmm. shave, get them short. It's a lab, whatever. But if I have to do that, if that is where I am in my career and that is the, mm-hmm. you know, the clientele that we're working with. And so I have to make those kind of decisions. I'm going to do things that are going to at least help that skin and coat mm-hmm. have some recovery from the harshness of what I'm having to do, because that is what the owner wants.
Right.
And so I still will counsel the owner, but we still get enough customers that will just say, nope, this is what I want. This is how I want it done. And so I feel like if I have to do that, I have enough things in my educational background that I could at least put together some form of skin and coat recovery for them mm-hmm. while they're still there with mm-hmm. me. So that when they go home, at least that skin has been rehydrated, that follicle has been carded, even though I've shaved it short.
Right.
You know, there are things that I'm doing. If I pre-shave it, I may do a polish in the tub with sugar. You know, so I'm trying to put a plan together that is beneficial to that overall animal while sure. still honoring what that customer, you know, wants and needs. Mm-hmm. So think about where your standards lie on what your services are and how you perform those, because mm-hmm. not everyone works somewhere in even demographic areas that they can say, nope, sorry, I refuse to do this or that, or mm-hmm. nope, I refuse to put your schnauzer in a cocker clip, or you know what I mean? Like people will ask for certain things, and as long as it's not physically harming the dog, then, which some would argue that shaving a double coat physically harms.
Well, you have to live with your own standards, you know, or the standards that your salon has salon set.
So, think of ways that you can kind of boost that. Okay, so I do have to do this, but I'm doing this to kind of counteract some of the effects from this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, raise your educational standards. If you are not, if you're not well educated in skin and coat and carding, or even just breed standard haircuts, those things, there's so much education for free out there available.
Truthfully.
That, you know,
before you even spend a penny, you could learn quite a bit.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
just by seeking and researching that information.
Right.
I think the number one thing is you should be studied in the breed standards of all the groups. And then you go from there. Then you learn proportion. Then you learn your scissor skills. Then you go on and learn all those other things, you know, and you're going to find your niche.
It always shocks me how many groomers out there do not know the breeds.
Mm-hmm.
That they're not well-versed in the AKC breeds at all.
Well, I mean, I can't be mad about that, though, because a lot of salons nowadays don't ever really see a purebred dog anymore.
Right.
They're all mixed mutts, and they have all different kinds of anatomy and structure. And I've seen it. There's so many. And those outweigh the ones who actually get those purebred dogs coming through.
Right.
The nice-looking ones, quote-unquote.
But you should still, in my opinion, I believe that you should still know, so that when you're looking at the mixed breeds, you can look at that and say, that's a terrier, that's a brick head, that's a terrier head. You know, that is, that back leg set looks like a German Shepherd, or, you know, that big, full barrel chest. Makes that look like it could be a greyhound mix. Or do you understand what I'm saying? That I
absolutely, yes. And I agree with that. But how many groomers do you have you personally taught or met or have any interaction with? They don't know. And at that point, they don't care yet because they don't get those dogs.
Right.
And that's all I'm saying.
Yeah. And I understand.
Some people
that.
Don't know what they don't know. They don't know the different. They know, okay, yeah, I can pick out a cocker and a poodle and a terrier in general, you know, and that's where they start. So sometimes you just have to meet them where they are.
Oh, absolutely.
And then the more they learn, the more they'll know, you know, and they'll hopefully you'll spark an interest and not burn them out.
Yeah. I think we play a game in my class when we first start, and I have the show magazines, you know, the big thick show magazines with all the different breeds, and they're in, you know, all the beautiful winning show dogs. And then I get the magazine, I show them a picture, and I'm like, guess the breed. And they're usually complete newbies, so they have no idea, most of them. So then I tell them the breed, and then they have to look it up, and then they have to read about it. And as we go through the program, I notice that it's part of the program for them to be looking up these breeds and going on AKC.org and looking at these different breed standard haircuts. And look, I make them watch the videos and so that they can see the movement of that dog, because different dogs move differently.
Absolutely.
Also,
they're just put together differently. Yeah.
Right. And so as they progress through the program, I can see them saying, oh, this dog, look at this dog. Don't you think he looks like an Affin pincher? When they came in, they had no idea what an Affin pincher even was.
Or how to pronounce it or nothing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But they're looking at dogs with a different eye because they've been exposed to that stuff.
Absolutely,
so I think that, you know, if you're a salon owner, if you are a salon leader, mentor, any of those kind of things, I think it's important to set a standard for the people that you work with, to expose them to those things. And if you aren't exposed to them, you should be exposing yourself so that you can understand those standards so that you can pick and choose from those standards on how you want to aesthetically work with that mm-hmm. coat type, that body mm-hmm. type, that movement. I know it cracks me up when I see some of these dogs and they walk in and I'm always like, oh, look at, he's got a little hitch in his giddy up. Mm-hmm. You know how they just have, they all have their own walk and their own with what we call a gait.
Mm-hmm.
And watch the dog shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm surprised that there are so many groomers who don't really go to the dog shows.
Yeah.
And if and that's really where you find though the confirmation what they're looking for. You see a variety of them so that you know that even within a breed, they can all have their little individual, traits.
Yes.
And how they move. But in general, you know what a terrier should move like. You know what a poodle should move like. You should know what a Maltese should move like, because they're put together anatomically in a certain way to move like that.
Even understanding bite.
Yeah. Understanding how they're put together is everything. And that's why you see those either pictures or videos of the dog shaved in half. So you can see how they're forming the haircut around that structure.
Right.
And I think that's really important to know your anatomy and how their joints move, because that matters when you trim their hair. Sometimes you can put a beautiful trim on a dog, but you're not looking at the anatomy underneath. So when the dog walks, it looks like he's just got extra hair here and there.
Right.
Even though if he's still and you pose him, he's going to look really pretty and really proportioned. But then when he moves, you're like, oh, I didn't take that into consideration. And that's why you're thinking in your head, oh, why am I not getting this right? It doesn't look good. Well, you've not paid attention to the bones underneath. You're just shaping it in whatever way you want instead of paying attention. Some dogs can't carry the same angulation as others.
Right.
They just can't. It looks weird.
When you know the standards of different, of the different breeds, then it also factors into your corrective grooming.
Yes.
So, which is a whole nother way of grooming to make that dog look a little more aesthetically pleasing to the eye, so that it, if it is pigeon-toed, its feet turn all the way in, you can create lines that really aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
But we do a little Havanese that is very much, turned in feet. He's adorable. Mm-hmm. And the lady that has him, as a puppy, he couldn't barely even walk on those front legs. Mm-hmm. And so when we do his haircut, we create a straight leg for her. He is mm-hmm. has a little bit of a bow. Of course, I work with a lot of Shih Tzus. A mm-hmm. lot of them have what they call fiddle legs or mm-hmm. Violin, where it kind of goes like, looks like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a birth defect.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're leaving any amount of coat on those legs, if it's not a shave down, you should be able to create a corrective groom
mm-hmm.
to just aesthetically make that just look a little bit more straight.
Mm-hmm. I think that's where Asian fusion really came about.
Yeah, too. Which is one of my
favorites. Not just with corrective grooming, but they are thinking outside of the box.
Yes.
And I know in this country, they call it Asian fusion. In Asia, they don't call it that because it's just grooming. It's creative grooming.
Like Italian food in Italy.
Right. Listen, I want Italian food. All of it is Italian.
All of it is
Italian
food. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that, there are certain dogs that have those fiddle legs that I make the nice corrective legs, but then I'll give them puddle feet. It's hairy shaved feet, but like more hair on them, so that if they're pigeon toed, you can see those little feet coming out of the pants, and they're so adorable. And that's what I mean by thinking outside the box. Yes, it's great when you get a beautiful dog and you can put it in a standard trim, but it's even cuter when you find one who has terrible conformation and then you invent a trim just for them and bring out their personality, because some of them are just so freaking adorable and they don't match the standard. You'd have standard elements in their trim, but then you can do something with their little feet or their face. Like the little cute poodles that almost have no chin, but they have a huge head.
Yep. That's so cute.
It's not standard by any means.
No, but it's still balanced, but you're still taking the top half of a Bichon.
Yeah.
With those blend, when they used to make them have look like astronauts before they changed the standard. The and that's another thing, is that's why it's important to understand the standards and follow, because they change them from time fashion, to time.
The styles change.
Right.
But the proportion should never change.
Right.
And knowing the anatomy that you, that's the hair is coming off of, is really important as well. And the reason is, let's say you have a bow leg dog or whatever, and you're trying to corrective groom that, and they have plenty of hair to do that. Then when the dog walks, you've put the front of the leg somewhere different. So when the dog goes forward, his front leg is not in the right place. So you have to at least make the front of the leg swing in the direction that he swings the leg out, so that his movement looks really well.
Exactly. So it is a jigsaw puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. And
it takes practice.
Yep.
You have to practice with your eye and look at a bunch of grooms and look at a bunch of other people grooming.
And try not to judge yourself either.
No, it's a practice. Yes. Like a doctor. You are forever.
Ever.
Until you put your scissors down for the last time, you will have practiced all that time. I'm still in search of the perfect Bichon head.
I said, they'll pry them out of my cold, dead hands. My fingers, I groomed all weekend. My fingers are killing me. And I do an old, she's 16, Holly, an old Shih Tzu. She's black. And they like her in full coat. But I can't put the clipper. Her skin is just so thin now, and she has bumps and lumps. And so I have to do the comb scissor method, and hand scissor her. And she's not great for standing anymore.
Yeah.
So one of the things I do is I literally shave the whole underbody all the way up to like mid rib, and then let that top stuff come down. And it covers all that, but she's at least cool. She's able to cool herself down when she lays down. And so that's a modification, and that's what we're talking about is, I understand a Shih Tzu, there is no breed trim. They are basically, you're just keeping the hair from laying on the ground.
Mm-hmm. It's the detailing in the top knot.
And the top knot, right. It's all
that, but basically they're just a big old long dress.
Right. So, but to know that I can still pull that top coat over top of that, where I've taken everything out underneath, makes it easier for them at home and for the dog itself. If I didn't know what a Portuguese water dog trim was, I can't tell you how many times I've done that for Doodles.
Right.
And the people are like, oh my God, I love it, because they don't want their doodle poodled. They're like, I don't want my poodle to look like that, like a poodle.
But you can have them Portuguese.
Yeah, exactly. So I give them a Portuguese.
Or Irish watered.
Or Irish watered. Or, there are so many things that you can draw from and then add your own style to it.
Mm-hmm. Some doodles have the type of hair that you can even spaniel them.
Yes.
I think that's really pretty as well. So you just have
terrier them. Some of them are wiry coated.
Yeah.
So, that's the gist of this today, is that we want you to know that there is a plethora of styles for you to pick and choose what would work for those kind of coat types. Mm-hmm. And that information is there and available to you for free.
Mm-hmm. Or you can make it up as you go along.
Yeah.
You're really creative. We know you. We've seen you. We know how creative you can be. It doesn't have to be just a one length all over, and that's your life now, because that's all you do. There's little nuances you can do with the feet, the tail set, the head. All of the things can be changed around, mixed around, and still be utilitarian for the client, but cute for the dog, And they get, I think when they look their cutest and you brought out their personality, I think they get more hugs.
Yeah.
I think they get more love. It's a direct correlation.
Groomer to Groomer did that. I think it was Blake actually that did that article on, the fuzzy body with the little 10 legs, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. And I mean, and it is a haircut. We just had, what were they? Belancas that came in. Mm-hmm. And older couple, they had two of them. It's a Russian breed. I don't think that they are in the AKC. So right. There are other breeds out there. So do your research and look up all those different breeds. But they liked the top of the bodies long, but they were avid walkers.
Mm-hmm. So you had short legs.
Yep. And the dogs would collect burrs and, you know, all sorts of grasses and things. And they wanted those legs really short. And I was like, this is not the first nor the last time I'm going to do this. They literally look like the Serta sheep, mm-hmm. you know, from the sheep, I mean, from the Serta mm-hmm. mattress commercials.
Mm-hmm. I think that's one that Kenichi does as well.
Yeah.
He does a lot of the sheep trims. They look like cartoons. They're uh-huh. so cute.
Yep. Something from Wallace and, I can't think of
Gromit.
Gromit, yes. So those are viable haircuts that you mm-hmm. can offer to your customers.
Mm-hmm. And the sky's the limit.
Right. I mean,
as far as your creativity will take you, that's where you can go. You know, just as long as the client is game, and a lot of them are.
Oh.
A lot of them don't know that they can have such a cute trim.
Right.
They're just like, I don't know, just do whatever you do, you know, make yeah. it short. You know, we're like, well, we can make it short and cute at the same time. Look at what we can do with your baby.
Right.
You know, sometimes leaving the tufts off of those long ears. Adorable.
Yep.
Freaking adorable.
Just a shaved bottom of the ear on something, or go yeah. the opposite way and give them a Dandy Dinmont ear.
Yes.
You know, yeah. or
all
a Bedlington
cute. Cute,
ear.
Cute. Yeah.
Right. You know, but knowing those breed standard cuts literally gives you a coloring book to choose. You know what I mean? Like it's just
absolutely a, yes.
It's like a buffet of things for you to choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And
you can fit them together. You know, kind of like, I don't know, Melissa, a quilt.
Yeah, exactly. And create your own pattern.
Right.
So you make yep. your own standards.
Yes.
I had a student one time say to me, I love how you do your Shih Tzu heads, which I've actually changed how I do them most of the time now. Because when Asian Fusion came around, I was all, that's what I want to do. But I used to do like a modified schnauzer, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Leave that ear long and full, mm-hmm. but take out all this to vent all that so that they could get some mm-hmm. air circulation. And
oh, those fluffy ear schnauzers are adorable.
Aren't they cute?
Yeah, especially if it's a full long ear and not a cropped ear.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, they're yep. so cute.
And instead of that long, long Fu Manchu beard, you can round that up and give mm-hmm. them that little teddy bear face.
You can give them like a wire fox face too.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, that's adorable. So, I mean, you have all the pieces, you know, if you just become familiar with those foundational breed standards, man, you just have a toolbox that expands. The more you learn, you can expand those trims. And any body type that comes across your table, you'll be able to just say, you know what? This looks like I'm going to do this here, this here, this here. And you know what? I tell people all the time if they're new, yeah, just let me try it this once. And if you hate it, we can do something different. But I think you're going to really like it.
Right.
9 times out of 10, they were like, oh, my God, I did not know my dog was so cute.
I've had clean feet. I tell people all the time, clean feet is not just for poodles.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I used to do them on cockers. I've done them for years on Shih Tzus. Mm-hmm. You know, many, many breeds, especially if they're complaining that the dog tracks in stuff or the dog mm-hmm.
and just puddle feet, which is a, yeah. you know, a longer.
Not as
yeah.
short.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there are so many cool things that you can pick and choose from.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hair is going to grow back if they're like, I wasn't really crazy about this, or I'd like this a little longer, or a little shorter. Okay, modify it. I love mm-hmm. that. If in the days when we used to actually have groom notes, remember when we used to write on those cards and write all our stuff down before mm-hmm. we have computer programs, you know, mm-hmm. I'm from the
sometimes those instructions could be 3 lines long, like do this to those 3 hairs that come out of the end of the tail. That's so cute.
I'm from the days when it was like Fred Flintstone, you know, you're mm-hmm. you know, getting it into the slab of stone, you know?
Drawn on a clay tablet.
Oh my God. The they would be stapled together. So yes. many cards all stapled yeah, together. Yeah, because you were
doing them his whole life.
Yeah. So, you know, but we do that so that we remember, oh, that looked so good. You mm-hmm. know, so keep nowadays you have a computer in your hand or mm-hmm. right next to you. Now take a picture of that. Mm-hmm. And keep that and say into your, you know, into your voice recorder or whatever, however you're recording your notes nowadays, keep notes on that because you may get a dog that looks like that dog again mm-hmm. and be like, oh, this would be perfect for that dog.
And then you get into the territory of naming a certain style yes. for that dog. Like forever, I've used the style of put him in a Spanky.
Yeah.
Because in the very first salon that I ever worked at, there was a Lhasa Apso that would come in and she would get a Cocker trim sort of. It was a modified Cocker trim right. on a Lhasa Apso with a weird head or whatever, but that haircut became a Spanky. And I still kind of mess up and I'm like, oh yeah, that dog would look good in a Spanky. And they're like, what is a Spanky?
Yeah,
and then I have to show them what a Spanky is. So you'll have, you know, like a flipper head or a Benji head is a very good example too. Now that it's no, just do a Benji head. Now the right. younger ones of you don't remember the movie Benji, but there was a movie Benji and he's just kind of like a Muttley dog. And I think a lot of doodle owners that don't have curly yes. doodles want that Benji look.
Yeah, that's
great. Yeah, you'll end up called it all kinds of stuff and it's hilarious. I love the regional names for different trims.
Yeah. But that's the fun. I mean, we get to have fun too.
It should be fun.
It's not all matted dogs and bunch of Karen clients and
you're gonna get a lot of flack too from Karen groomers saying, well, that's not proper, that's not correct. I'm like, what trophy am I going for? None.
Yeah, exactly.
My trophy is that sweet, sweet cash that client pays me for being happy. That's the trophy.
That is the indeed. That is
absolutely.
And that client telling their 10 friends and those 10 friends.
And then you've got a whole clientele of dogs that you love to groom because they're all different and they're all similar in their breed standards, but very different and unique each one. And that's where that fun comes in. Otherwise, you're just doing the same haircuts all the time and you burn out. Nobody wants that.
No,
so use your creativity because you are an artist. You are a professional, you know, and you get to draw outside the lines if you want to.
Absolutely. And it's okay to have low standards.
Well, it's not okay to have low standards, but we meant blur the lines between absolutely being a Nazi about a breed standard.
Right.
Blur those lines. Lower those standards a little bit, you know, have fun with what you do because dogs are fun. They're fun. It's fun to cut their hair.
Yes. And
make them look cute.
You should be having some joy in your time with those animals.
Absolutely.
So if you're not, rethink how you're doing things and what you're doing because we're giving up physically. We give a lot of ourselves mentally. We give a lot of ourselves emotionally. We give a lot of ourselves for something that people go, oh, it's just a haircut.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a lot more than that. And
I'm sure we've all been through the experience also of having to give one of our clients to someone for a minute because we're out of town or we're sick or, you know, for whatever reason, we can't groom them that cycle. And they come back and they're like, I know you didn't groom my dog.
Yeah.
Even though they followed the instructions, it looks the same, but it's not the same because we're all unique artists. We all have our different style that we put on the breed standards or on the pieces of those breed standards.
I tell my students that when I do the half, I'll do half a face and I'll say, now match my side as best you can. And then put special sauce.
And then match it back to the other side.
I'm like, yep. And then put your special sauce all over it so that it looks like you and not me.
Right.
Because everybody has their own special thing that makes it their groom.
And if you groom in a location for a very long period of time, you can walk to the mall and see people walking their dogs and you're like, oh, I know Shelly did that one.
Right.
I know, you know, Bill did that one, you know, such and such did that one because you know their style.
Right.
You know exactly what head looks like fits to what person. And if you look at these competition groomers, who are grooming to a breed standard to the nth degree as best they can, even they have nuances between them. They have a style of how they get there, how the hair lays, how they dry it, how they scissor finish it. All those things matter because everyone has a unique artistic style to how they execute that trim.
Absolutely. And that's part of the fun is I feel like that even for me, even for a 10 shave down, I will do something. I'll ask, can we leave a little lion tail? You know, can I do something that's just a, you know, a tiny bit. And my clients are, they want them clean, comfortable, short, but they still want them to look cute.
They do. They
so,
do.
You know,
and just, if they can have both, why not?
Right. So it's important that you step up and you say, hey, I can do both. You can have those things, but you can also have, you know, it doesn't have to look like it was, you know, just shaved down and kicked out.
Gone through on a little conveyor belt through the place.
Right.
Yeah. Looking the same. You're just putting out the same things, doing the same headpieces all the time. I would lose my mind. And I know there was a period of time where it just felt like I was doing a modified lamb every single day on every single dog. And I'm like, I'm going to kill myself.
Yeah,
I don't want to do it ever again. I don't want to do it unless you have those little nuances that you can add and make it unique. Yeah, that'll drive you crazy. That's a factory job. That's not a creative grooming job.
And anything can be creative. You're creative.
Yeah. So. And you'll find something that we haven't even seen yet.
Right.
You know, don't be afraid to experiment. If you've got a willing client willing to let you experiment on a certain texture of dog that you want to do, they're the best ones.
Yeah.
Because they'll usually tip you too. Even if they don't like it, they're like, oh, let's try something different next time. Don't be afraid to experiment. Don't be afraid to go out, think outside the box. Don't be afraid to put one headpiece on another body just to see what it looks like. You may fail. It may be a fail. It may look ridiculous. The dog may move. It looks stupid. But that's part of the learning experience.
Right.
You know, now you know on that confirmation, on that structure, you can't use those pieces. And that's a very important thing to learn.
It's important that we are using that time with that animal to not only make a paycheck, but to also enrich ourselves as well.
Yes.
I think that's a huge part of what we do.
I agree. But have fun.
There's our music.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have fun with it. And that's basically what we mean by lower your standards. What do we mean by is relax. Because the majority of us in salon work cater to 90% of the dogs that aren't breed specific.
Right.
We have a lot of mixed breeds out there. A lot of purebred dogs who are genetically not what they're supposed to be in the picture. And it's up to you to find the cute in that dog. And there's nothing wrong with giving it a shot. And I think that you will find more fulfillment in your practice than you would if you're just trying to do the same thing over and over and over.
Right.
Unless exhibition and competition and show are your goals, it's good to know that, but just relax a little bit. Have fun with it. Have fun with it. Leave a tuft on an ear once in a while.
Yep.
So absolutely, we will see you next time.
Yeah.
We'll talk about something else that's fun, I guess. And we love
you. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. And may your next sip be just as delicious as your last.
Yeah.
We will see you soon.
Bye.